midst of conflict and midst of unrest, we know that we have the peace of Christ with us and in us. And so, Holy Spirit, come again today. Come among us. Come with your quickening power and bring peace to our hearts, to our soul, to our homes, to our churches, to our community, to our neighborhoods, to our world. Bring peace, Lord God, for we need peace, your peace. Empower us again to be people of peace. And take hold of each and every one of us, Lord, and shower us again with your peace. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Sermon title today is The Gift of Peace. As you know that we have been going through our journey through Advent, that sheet I left in your giving you in your bulletins, you all see that nice sheet. It is for something for you to keep. Those of you who choose to keep it, sometimes I know folks don't keep it. It's all here on the benches and the pews. But they are wonderful thoughts for us to go through in the new year, that we are agents of hope, vessels of love, proclaimers of joy, and instruments of peace. And I've given you the scriptures. And we cannot be any of this without Jesus Christ. Cannot be agents of love without Christ, of agents of hope. We certainly cannot be vessels of love, proclaimers of joy, or instruments of peace without Jesus Christ. We are the only religion who speaks of a Prince of Peace. Only religion. We wonder why sometimes folks are so upset about us being Christians, because we, when we rejoice and when we celebrate, we want the whole world to do it, and we try to bring the whole world in. All these folks who are celebrating Christmas with us, no matter what they call it, they're celebrating Christmas. It is about the birth of Jesus Christ. In this article, it says NFL star Junior Seau, he searched for peace. Junior Seau was well known as a passionate, fist-pumping, emotional leader and superstar for the NFL's San Diego Chargers. In his 13-year pro football career, Seau made the Pro Bowl 12 times. He was also selected to the NFL 1990 All-Decade Team. Sadly, on May 2nd, 2012, at the age of 43, Seau took his own life. His death in northern San Diego County stunned the community who adored him for his service and outgoing personality. In an interview with Sports Illustrated, his former teammate and friend Rodney Harrison explained that in Seau's last days, he was desperately searching for peace. Harrison said, "He would tell me that the only time he truly felt at peace was when he was with his children or in the surf. He would say, 'When I'm on those waves, it is the greatest feeling. I have no worries, no stress, no problems. I just forget about everything.'" Junior was always searching for peace. Like Junior Seau, we are all searching for peace. But we won't find that peace in success or fame. It only comes by resting in who Christ is and what he has done for us. A simple definition of peace is a state in which there is no war or fighting, an agreement to end war, a period of time when there is no conflict, no war. But a fuller definition of peace is much broader. It says a state of tranquility or quiet, freedom from civil disobedience, disturbance, a state of security or order within a community provided by law or custom, freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions, harmony in personal relations. Thus, peace is not an absence of war. The biblical concept for peace does not focus on the absence of trouble. There are many folks walking around that smile at us, and if truth be told, we go home and there's no peace there. We take trips, we dress up, we look good, we get our hair done, put on our makeup, we have our nails done, we look lovely, and wear nice clothes, but there is no peace in our lives. Peace in our homes, peace on our job. Biblical concept of peace is not the absence of war or trouble. Biblical peace is unrelated to circumstances. It is a goodness of life that is not touched by what happens on the outside. Nothing happens on the outside can give us inner peace. This young man, this football player, had every material means you could think. Great career and lots of money. Yet he would end up killing himself searching for peace, which he now has received. You may be in the midst of great trials and still have biblical peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace that we cannot explain. The greeting of peace has its roots in the ancient Hebrew greeting of shalom. And shalom is bigger or more pregnant with meaning than the word peace. Oftentimes we translate the Hebrew into one English word, which really doesn't do it justice because that's the only word we could find. Shalom is wholeness, a life where things are as they should be. It is well-being. When someone says shalom in the Middle East or in the Mediterranean area, they're talking about your well-being, that you have health, your family is well. It is the shalom. It is more than just peace. The church took over the greeting of peace from its Jewish forebears, and Islam carried it into the Arabic as salam alaikum, peace. This term peace continues to the church's tradition. At its most basic, when people greet one another with the word peace, it means you don't have to be afraid of me, and my wish for you is well-being. It's more than. I often say I normally don't say peace when I go around, and if I ever do and shake hands, I always say the peace of Christ. Because I come from a tradition that we would say the peace of the Lord or the peace of Christ. Because I will tell you, friends, you don't want my peace. Since I haven't found the answer to complete peace in my life, I am offering you the peace of Christ. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace became a common Christian greeting very early in the New Testament era. And they needed that. Because remember, during the early New Testament era, they were under major persecution, the church. And here in the shalom was important to know, I wish you well. I'm not here to harm you. I wish you the peace of Christ. The oldest Christian document in the New Testament is a letter, 1 Thessalonians, in which Paul begins, grace and peace to you. And throughout Paul's letter, he will begin oftentimes with grace and peace to you. The peace of Christ, well-being of Christ. Jesus says in John 14:27, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Peace. He wasn't talking about just a handshake. Christ was not. We know it's an outward expression of, we're saying peace, but he says, not as the world give you. And he goes on in John 16:33, says, I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will face persecution, but take courage, I have conquered the world. Amen. For us to take courage knowing that Christ has conquered the world. That peace, when we say that peace that surpasses all understanding, we mean that a peace that we cannot explain. On Friday evening, I went over to St. Ignatius. There were four churches represented, but in the pulpit area was myself and Father James and Pastor Hank and Father Saul. And we were doing the service, the Blue Christmas service. About 40-something to maybe almost 50 folks came. And this moved me so much, this story. When I got to the church, I ran from here where the kids were, because Dana had the instructions to take care of the children, to get them to rehearse. And my task was to be there with those folks who are hurting. We all need to sometimes hear a word of comfort from the Lord. When I got there, I ran to the room, the sacristies where you could put on your vestment and your alps, and there was a gentleman there, and he was an older man, maybe 88 years old, and he was in doing the bulletins, putting them together, and putting programs together. And I said, Merry Christmas, how are you? And he nodded and he says, Merry Christmas, I'm doing fine. And then after we got done, Father James came in and Hank, and we got robed and we started divvying up what we were going to say in the pulpit. Then we had an anointing and all of that. We went to do the service. And during the service, it was a very quiet, reflective service, not really any preaching, just a time of reflection. There was a moment where Pastor Hank said, after we had read the different litany and all of that, he said, well, now we'd like anyone who wants to tell of whatever they're going through to take a few minutes and to say that. He says, just a couple of minutes. And this man, who I had spoken to before, I hadn't gotten his name, he was sitting next to his wife, probably in his early 80s. And you could hear him, his voice broke. And he said, as he sat there, he said, I'm here tonight in the church talking to the Lord because I buried three sons. He said, I buried three sons. And I turned to the priest and I said, Father James was sitting next to me, and I was so surprised. I said, he buried three sons? And he said, yes. And this gentleman, you could hear the deep cry, the deep, you know, when someone gets it so deep. And I think everyone there was tearing up, because you think of one child, two child, but three child. Yet he was there in the church. And his wife was next to him. She didn't speak. And then someone else got up and they spoke of their cancer diagnosis. 3 years ago, they were diagnosed at Christmas, or 4 years ago, with cancer. The doctor said they caught it, and then 2 years later at Christmas, it came back. And this person said, every time it's Christmas, I think, is this going to happen again? Seeking peace. Wanting to get comfort from Christ.
And then one woman said, as she wept, "Lost my husband of 6 to 7 years, and it's the first Christmas without him." It is very hard for us, for all of us, and certainly us who are believers, to find that peace of Christ dear. Those of us, those of you here who are grieving this year for the first time in the holidays because you're without your loved ones. And the peace of Christ is important to be able to bring you through. Father James got up and he said, "I need to say something." And he said his nephew committed suicide earlier this year. And he too was grieving. Yet, here we all were, here they all were in church, seeking that thing that nothing else can give them. Not in Macy's, not in Lord and Taylor, not at the mall, not anywhere, but in Christ Jesus, the one we find in the church. In Luke chapter, in the first chapter of Luke, we see Mary. And the point to bring home is that it wasn't all that wonderful for Mary either. Mary was troubled. The text tells us earlier in Luke, if you read at the beginning of Luke, when Gabriel showed up and told Mary, forget the story, she's a young virgin. And she's betrothed to be married to Joseph. Matthew tells you that. And she lives in a culture wherein that doesn't happen. It's not like now that you're pregnant. You've never been with the man that you're engaged to, yet you're pregnant. The Bible says, and when the angel came and he says, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed or much troubled by his words and ponder what sort of greetings this might be. She was perplexed and worried because her circumstance did not lend to her being pregnant. Mary was troubled. It was very difficult for her because if you know the Bible, in those days you get stoned. To be unwed and pregnant would mean that you did something you ought not to and you get stoned. And so she was afraid. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive." And he goes on to tell her, "You will conceive." And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" Perplexed. How can this be? Her circumstances perplexed her. What he just said to her took away her peace. Mary peace was taken away. Yet, few chapters later, after the angel of the Lord reassured her that God would be with her, that this was coming from God, that God was in the midst of her situation, that the Holy Spirit would be with her, that God would send His Spirit to be with her, Mary begins to rejoice. Now, church, this morning, we are like Mary. We may not have a song like Mary. We may not be able to sing it like Mary. But because we know Jesus Christ, because we know that God is in it with us, that man I told you about who was serving in the church, when I had a chance to speak with him after the service, I went down, I spoke with him, and I said, what are the ages of your boys that died? He says, one died at childbirth, young, as a baby. And the other two, one died at 36 and one at 55. I didn't ask him what, I didn't give him a questionnaire. And I held his hand and I said, the wife was still just crying softly, I said, "May the peace of Christ be with you." Regardless of his circumstance, this is what Mary did. Because peace does not depend on our outside circumstance. Regardless of that man's circumstance, he was there at church that night. And Father James says he comes all the time to serve God. He works in the altar. That was his worship. That is his song of praise to God. Even though one child had gone, and then two child had gone, and then the third one had gone, yet he would keep coming. And the place he found peace, and the place he would find some kind of way to go through that time, was in the church at the feet of Jesus, the one whom he could be angry with and might have been through his life. Why did you take my one boy, and then my second boy, and then my third boy? But yet, even though he didn't understand his circumstances, even though we don't understand our circumstance, in Christ we still can seek peace and receive peace.
Amen.
To be able to live and go on. To be able to continue. And the person with cancer was there. And there were other people with other stuff. The peace of Christ. Seeking peace that what? Jesus says the world cannot give you. Is that peace that surpasses all understanding. That you cannot explain. When we begin to trust God through our circumstances. It may seem simple and simple thought, but it is. It's not a profound thought. When we get no explanation for what we're going through. Every one of us in here, I'm sure, most of us who are older, are missing someone now at Christmas time, aren't we? Someone was going home to be with the Lord. And those of you who are going through it for the first time this year, my heart goes out to you. And my hope for you today is that you will have the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding. That peace in your heart to go through, to hold on to knowing that your loved one is with the Lord and that one day you'll see them. And I think that's the hope this man has, that one day he will see his boy. And so Mary rejoices because she knows that God is with her. She understands that he will not leave her. And she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed." So our soul, my soul rejoices this morning. Why? Because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And in him I find peace. Like you who have accepted him. Like all of us who have said yes to him. We may not sing and dance like Mary this morning, but we have the hope of Christ. And not only do we have it individually, we have the peace of Christ in our church. When people come into the church, they should be able to find peace here. They should be able to find it through being here. The church is not a place where there should be constant conflict. And I told you last week, there's another thing that I do. When I stay away from folks who want to take my peace, you know, there are people who want to take your peace. Do you know that? Every time you say something to them, it's always, and they're always complaining. And they're always finding fault of something or someone. No matter what you do, if you walk on water, they say you didn't walk far enough or you didn't walk deep enough. Do you know what I'm saying? You just can't possibly do anything right. They sit and they wait and they take your peace. If you allow it. But I want them to know that the peace I have, the world didn't give it to me. Jesus gave it to me. And when people are planning to take my peace, guess what? I run the opposite direction. I cut them off. You have to. Because that peace will drive you mad. Unrest. And church, because we have the peace of Christ, we have to be what? Instruments of peace. Are you ready for your next task? Give me your number four now. You're going to be busy in 2016. You have to be instruments of peace. That means when you go to your Christmas dinner and they start worrying and talking about the gift that they don't like, you know that that's going to happen. And somebody says, "Why did you buy me this little thing? I don't really want it." Instead of arguing, you're going to say what? "The peace of Christ be with you." We're going to be peacemakers. Do you understand? We're going to be instruments of peace. I know you think it's difficult. This is going to be my new motto. When you all are complaining about something to me, now I'm just going to say, the peace of Christ be with you. Amen. You're going to be tired of hearing it. You may want to slap me around. And I'm going to start with Marlena. The peace of Christ be with you. Amen. Right? Because I'm going to grant you that thing that is better and bigger than me. It's the peace of Christ. So hopefully nobody here is, be prepared now. The peace of Christ be with you, Annette. Amen. And so with me. Do we say that in Christian? And so with me. Say it so the church could hear. And so with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. The peace of Christ be with you, Don and Michael. The peace of Christ be with you this morning. Thank you. The peace of Christ be with you. The peace of Christ be with this entire row. The peace of Christ. Hallelujah. Because we want the peace of Christ to go through. And when we go do the rest of the shopping this week and things don't work out too right, we'll say, and as we're going to get mad with the person we're buying the stuff from, yesterday I didn't get my discount. I said to the lady, why didn't I get my 25%? I said, I'm going to preach and feast tomorrow. I better be nice to the lady. Because it gets away from us, doesn't it? I was saying, it's 25%. And she says, well, the coupon says, I said, but there's a peace of Christ be with you. Because it keeps us, Zamzam, peace of Christ be
Thank
with you.
Pastor.
As we talk about the heat, she called me last night about put up the heat. I said, Zamzam, where are you? The peace of Christ be with you. It's hard work, isn't it? Right, Zamzam, and she's going to keep me to it. When I said, Zamzam, put up the heat and leave, let me be. Peace of Christ be with you, my sister. So it is work because we have the peace of Christ. Because we're reminded by the Hebrew writer. That God would send someone that would be greater than any other sacrifice. He didn't want any more gold and any burnt offering. No one else, nothing could do it but Christ. A body, a person would be complete. And who would bring peace into the world? Because Isaiah reminds us that Christ would come into the world. The promise was that God would send him. He says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called, what will he be called? Wonderful Counselor. First he would be Counselor, wouldn't he? And then he would be Mighty God. That's what gets us in trouble with the other religions. Because we call Jesus Mighty God. Oh, hallelujah. And then he would be Everlasting Father. Father of us all. And then he would be Prince of Peace. He is the peacemaker, the great peacemaker, Prince of Peace. And if we Christians were really doing what we say, there'd be much more peace in our churches and in our homes and in our communities. And maybe that would spill out into the world. He would be Prince of Peace. And so today, I encourage you to understand that we are called to be peacemakers, instruments of peace. We're reminded in this prayer that we read, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Do you notice that the four things of Advent, the four tenets of Advent are in that prayer, which I didn't even realize until last night? Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Remember, we are vessels of love, church. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Right? And it continues. As I lost the rest of it, but you know the rest of it, don't you, church? And where there is whatever, thank you, Susan. Thank you. And where there's pardon, faith. And where there's despair, hope. Right? Because we are agents of hope. And where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, joy, because we are proclaimers of joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. That means it's not about me. But that we could console someone else. To be understood as to understand. Understand what my brother or sister are going through. Understand their circumstance. Maybe they're not as happy as we thought they should be. Maybe they didn't smile as much because they're going through something. Give them the benefit of the doubt. to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying to self that we are born to eternal life. The hope of eternal life in Christ Jesus is for us. So this week, I pray that you'll be instruments of peace. Wherever you go, bring peace. Not your peace, but the peace of Christ. Amen.
Amen.